Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello everybody, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. down here in South Texas. And nice rainy day today, but the sun's coming out, so hopefully have a nice evening. Give us a call at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. You can listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. Let me scroll down here and make sure we got everything set up on that. And make sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done that already. You can get the links to all that stuff at our website, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we're growing right along there, you know, getting it done and trying to do our best to get the word out about truck driving and the life on the road. This is what we do here. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live, all things trucking and then some. Like I said, check us out, 515-602-9731. Before I go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors. And that is Load to Ride Transportation. It's ltrtransportation.com. You can go check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And they're actually heading over to the Truckers for Hope truck show. We just shared a post that they posted on Facebook where they're trucking out there. They got their nice truck trailer heading that way. And they're great supporters of Redneck and I, so we appreciate all their support over there. And go check them out. The Truckers for Hope, you can check them out, truckersforhope.com. They go to that truck show. That's going to be this week. Starts Thursday, goes all the way Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Long Haul Paul's going to be there. Tony Justice is going to be there. And also Little Texas. So go check them out. That's Truckers for Hope. We'll have some people who are Redneck and Eyes there. You guys know Tiffany from the Wednesday show. And, of course, Greg, he's also going to be there, too. He's got his truck in the tractor pool there. They're going to have some truck pools, and he's got his truck entered in that. So we're going to look forward to see how that works. Hope everything works out. And, of course, if you would check it out, go see them. They're going to have some stuff to give away, stuff to show you, you know, all kinds of cool stuff happening with us there for Redneck and Eyes at the Truckers for Hope Truck Show. That's in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania, up there on Interstate 80, up there by State College. You know how that is. But go check them out. And like I said, for all those details, go to truckersforhope.com and check out Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. So I was looking into some trucking news, and, you know, the top story was Fox News. And I'll tell you, I mean, a trucker, right? This is something else. So, I mean, I just saw this, and now I can't pull it up because they got the damn ads. I tell you what, man.
I may be close to retirement, but I'm as busy as ever.
I don't know why.
And thanks.
Maybe this is an actual. Yes, yeah, it's different. Yeah, I mean, why even have that video popping up? Anyway, I pulled it up, and here's the headline. Florida trucker charged in pair of grisly cold case murders in different states. Gary Artman, tied to gruesome slayings of Dusty Shuck and Sharon Hammock through DNA. A Florida trucker was charged with a 2006 cold case murder of a 24-year-old woman in Maryland weeks after he was arrested for the 1996 killing of a 29-year-old woman in Michigan, authorities announced. It says Gary Artman, 64, of White Springs, Florida, was linked to both slayings by DNA evidence. The body of Dusty Shuck, 24, was found May 4, 2006, dumped on the shoulder of I-70 freeway in Frederick County, Maryland. She had been, I guess Dusty's a woman, says she had been stabbed to death because she had no shoes or identifying information on her, but a pair of dragon tattoos on her back under the phrase Gypsy Rose helped authorities identify her. And, yeah, here you go, man. So I was – the reason why I brought this up and the reason why I kind of got interested in it, because I love all these TV shows that come out, like NCIS, and, of course, you know, you got Criminal Minds is one of my favorite, you know, Blue Bloods, all that. But Criminal Minds – so Criminal Minds, like, it's been on, what, 15 seasons, right? And it had about four or five different episodes where it portrayed a truck driver as being like a serial killer. And come on, man, it ain't that bad. And here it is, man. Here it is. It's what is it called? Life imitating art, or art imitating life. This is how the reality that we see it. It's possible. You got so many drivers going up and down the interstate and nobody bats an eye because, you know, we look at everything, and that's just what we see. Is we see stuff that, you know, what we try to do is we try to see the stuff. If we see it going on, we want to tell somebody and all that. But, I mean, tell you what, man, it's hard. It's hard because you just never know, you know. And I always, this back of my mind, I'll always think of, you know, what's going on in some of these trucks, these people doing what they're doing and everything. It's just, you just never know. And it's amazing to me, really. So yeah, I mean, this was kind of shocking to me. I noticed it and got a full article here on Fox News. So yeah, I'll go ahead and share this over to our Facebook page. You know, just an interesting read and some pretty good details. So yeah, it's just one of those things. You just never know. But like I said, we're following the news here, and let's see. Come on now. There we go. And there was another. It was a safety group ranks 12 deadliest states for truck crashes, calls on Congress to crack down on carnage on our roads. And this is from CDLLife.com, posted this morning. And it says, yesterday, a prominent highway safety group of several members of Congress called for action to curb fatal crashes involving trucks. I mean, I don't know. I know it's, you know, we know one is too many, right? But what can you do? You know, I mean, to me, what we always talk about here is that it's too easy. It's really easy to get a CDL, but it's damn easy to get a regular driver's license. And most of the lessons that we teach people to how to drive, they're not good. I mean, you know, you got parents teaching kids or relatives teaching, you know, people, and it's just like, you know, driving with one hand's okay, or you know, I don't know, it's just stupid stuff that they always check on, you know, and everything, just like, you know, driving too slow and, you know, driving too fast or cutting trucks off and stuff like that. You know, they never talk about stuff like that. So that kind of thing, I just think that we need better education as far as how things move. And that's why Redneck and I is doing what we're doing. We try to pass out information on our YouTube channel about how to drive around big trucks and what big trucks are thinking and all that. So we'll dive into this a little bit more and see how that goes. This is a pretty interesting read here. So because they're pretty much just calling on Congress to pass new laws or make legislation to prevent truck crashes, and I just don't know how you can do that, you know, without getting involved in the general public. You know, you start controlling big trucks, that's just half the problem. You know, to me, I would think about 75% of the problem are the regular four-wheelers out there. Those are the ones. So let's think about that before we jump the gun here on all that. But anyway, let's go check things out and. Whoops, there we go. Okay, let's go check things out, and we'll get things done. We'll come back and we'll take a look at this article here. So let's think about that. But anyway, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com, and we appreciate everybody supporting out there to register to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's the main. That's what I was trying to get out. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. I appreciate everybody doing that, and don't forget to go check out truckersforhope.com. That's the truck show happening this week. Starts Thursday. September 23rd is a Friday. That's when everything kicks off. Friday night, Long Haul Paul, Tony Justice will be in concert. And then Saturday night, Little Texas will be in concert with a fireworks show. So Go check that out. Truckers4hope.com. And you can also check things out on our website, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple. DPF Regeneration.
Everybody, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're back here. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one, or you can listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that, following along, subscribing to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that and getting on the YouTube channel. You can give us comments on there as we go along here. I try to get see them all I can. And we got our great pal Chris out of Portsmouth, Virginia, out there running for the ports and handling all that union bull crap. Better you than me, brother. So I was just going to be talking about this article here that talks about fatal truck crashes. And before I do that, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. Appreciate all their support, dpfregeneration.com. That's the diesel particulate filter cleaning, and they sell diesel particulate filter supplies, SCR units, EGR coolers, charger coolers. They're getting in turbos, all different kind of components for the diesel engine, and it's lots of diesel engine technology. And any size diesel engine, you got the little diesel engines, you know, the pickup trucks, the vans. You know, even those, aren't they like Isuzus? Remember Isuzu came out back in the day? It's kind of like a cab over pickup, you couldn't kill them. You know, they were all over the place, lawn maintenance and moving trucks and little delivery trucks and all that. But it was like a cab over, but all it was, you know, you could put like five guys in that cab. But anyway, all those diesel engines DPF Regeneration help you maintain those and get the proper parts for them. So check them out, dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So CDLLife.com by Ashley this morning. Safety group ranks 12 deadliest states for truck crashes. Calls on Congress to crack down on carnage on our roads. Yesterday, a prominent highway safety group and several members of Congress called action to curb fatal crashes involving trucks. On Monday, September 19th, a truck safety coalition released their deadliest truck crash states report. Using data from the National Highway Safety Administration, the report ranks the top 12 states on truck crashes fatalities per 100,000 population for 2020, the most recent year for which the data is available. So, okay, so first off, when we start getting into this, it says per 100,000 population, which means that you're probably going to see maybe some of those smaller states or less populated states might have more crashes because, like, let's just say Iowa, right? There's not very many people that live in Iowa compared to Illinois or California, Texas, all that. But that Highway 80 is highly traveled. Interstate 35 going north and south, highly traveled. So we could see more crashes on those roads because there's more traffic, but less people. So when we look at this report, I haven't looked at it yet. And it says the deadliest zone states in order are, and I was right. The number one, Wyoming. I'm going to tell you, Wyoming, busy. Okay, Interstate 80 in Wyoming, busy. Busy, 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 busy. Hardly anybody lives in Wyoming. They only got one representative. You know, they got two senators and one representative, you know, and that's based on population. And highway, Interstate 80, very busy, very, very busy. In fact, I remember, you know, you get one truck stuck on an uphill, going uphill on an icy road, and they get stuck, everybody gets stuck. So, yeah, I can see that. Number two, South Dakota. Number three, Nebraska. Okay, right there what I said, right? In fact, when I said I was not on the list. So, sorry. Sorry, Iowa. But Nebraska is number three. Arkansas is number four. Montana, number five. Again, busy. Okay? People ship stuff from Chicago or the north, or what do they call it, the Midwest area, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio. Those areas go towards Seattle. And they use 90 and 94, and it's busy. It's Montana, icy roads, mountain terrain, even the Interstate 15 goes through the western part of Montana, which is very mountainous, and Interstate 15 goes up into Canada, very highly traveled. Okay, so number six is Alabama, again. Probably not very populated, but a lot of traffic. Interstate 20, Interstate 65, Interstate 85 going down to Montgomery, Interstate 10 going across there. You got Alabama is probably – it's kind of like you don't – once you leave New Orleans area, it doesn't get busy again until you get to Alabama, until you get down there by Mobile. And then you got to go under a tunnel under the bay. And I can see more crashes happening around there because there's a couple of curves you got to watch out for, and of course and you got some bridges right there when you come up from the tunnel, and the tunnel goes straight down, straight up. I can see problems with that. Number seven, Idaho, again 15, 90, 94, that area there, that's hot, very, very busy. Mississippi, number eight, right there next to Alabama, I can see that. Because, like you said, it's Dallas. So when you talk about crashes, you know, and you're talking about per population, so you got Dallas and Atlanta. In between Dallas and Atlanta, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Alabama and Mississippi are on the list. Interstate 20, very highly traveled. Lots and lots of freight going back and forth between the two big cities. And, of course, when you got smaller states like that, they're going to get caught in the crossfire. North Dakota, another one. Well, that's probably because there's nobody living there, and you got a lot of bad weather. So, yeah. Kentucky, number 10, Tennessee, number 11, and then South Dakota, number 12. So North Dakota, South Dakota right there together. And they got a chart here. Let me go. I got you. Let me pull you right here. Boom. There you go. Boom. You see the chart. Worst fatal truck crash states in 2020. There's the list right there in the yellow. And I guess, like, if you want to look at total crashes, so this is the rate. So these top 12 here on the left, that's the rate, which means, like you're saying, it's smaller states with less population, crashes per population, and Wyoming is at 4, da-da-da. But when you get to most crashes, Texas is on top. What does that say? Let me, I got to lean in. Is that a 643? I can't zoom in. And then California, Florida, you see these are most populated states right here. They got the most fatal crashes. Georgia, Tennessee got the most. Illinois got the on there with too. Highly volatile population. North Carolina, Indiana. So these are the total, like total number. So that's how that chart looks right there. And we'll share this article, but I think I'm going to, you see here, I'm saying save image. That's what I'm doing. So I'll do that. I'll save this image, and then we'll share it. We'll share it so everybody can see. Where am I at? There we go. So in a news release, the Truck Safety Coalition pointed to an uptick in fatal truck crashes and called on lawmakers to act quickly to curb the carnage of their roads. I don't know what's going to happen on that. What are they going to do? We got a quote here. Let's see what this says here. It says, the report release comes on the heels of one of the worst years for highway safety ever recorded. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration reports that large truck fatalities surged 13% over the previous years, reaching 5,600 deaths annually. There are over 146,000 injuries. Since 2009, truck crash deaths have increased by 66%. Despite this alarming trend, policymakers are acting with the little urgency to curb the carnage of our roads. Members of Congress and truck crash victims, volunteers to the Truck Safety Coalition issued a powerful call to action in Washington, D.C. today, demanding decision makers reckon with the price of inaction to take swift and meaningful action to address this crisis, the group said. So I want to say something real quick. If you disagree, chime in. This is what I'm going to say, and I think a lot of people will agree with me. When we see an increase in these fatal crashes since 2009, I know that e-logs have been in effect for a while now. If it's 2009, that's about right. E-logs went into effect right about that time. You saw it getting more and more. I think the law wasn't until like 2011. But if it's been increasing, what's it say again? Yeah, okay. 2009, truck crash deaths have increased by 66%. Let me tell you something. It's e-logs. When you've got a company, and the carriers have said this, the carrier says, we now know, because the e-log is hooked to the computer, instead of just relying on the driver to tell us how much time they have left, we know how much time they have left, so we can keep them running. I mean, Richard Stocking, I don't know if he's still in charge over at Swift, but he said that. He said that in like a speech. He said, we now can tell the driver, hey, you've got 3 hours left on your log. You can go do more work. And we can get more efficient. We can become more efficient that way. If the driver's tired, he should say he's tired. And what happens is that these companies are pushing these drivers. And then you even have the companies, they can fix the logs from the from their computer, they can fix them to make the driver have more time. So they can go in there and they can fix it. You know, when the driver is not being very creative, you can have a guy sitting in the computer being creative for the driver, moving things around instead of being on duty, being off duty, you know, the kind of stuff that an experienced driver that's not going to push his limits, they'll do that. They'll play with the logbook. We've always been taught that, but it's one of those things where I'm not going to play with my logbook if I'm tired. But when you've got somebody else playing with your logbook and you're tired, But you can't say you're tired because a lot of these companies are smaller, and they say, well, if you don't want to work, go home. Or we'll get somebody else. And and that's against the law. Who's going after it? Who's going to say anything? Who's going to believe the truck driver? You know, that's – so it's – I – tell me I'm wrong, but if it's since 2009, that's right about e-logs. It's e-logs. So several lawmakers joined the Truck Safety Coalition to call for specific legislation on multiple trucking industry issues, including speed limiters, side underride guards, automatic emergency braking system, advanced driver assist systems, increased minimum insurance requirements for motor carriers, guaranteed overtime pay for truck drivers, and terminating the lethal teen trucker pilot program immediately. So I guess they're trying to say that you under 21, they don't want to do that no more. See below for comments from lawmakers and Truck Safety Coalition members. It says the roadway safety crisis. This is from Eleanor Holmes Norton, Democrat from, I guess, the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C. She's the chair of the U.S. House of Representatives Highway and Transit Subcommittee on Transportation Infrastructure. She says, the roadway safety crisis does not receive the attention it deserves. One of the fundamental roles of government is to protect people. With that in mind, I have made safety one of my top priorities as chair of the Subcommittee on Highway and Transit. I will continue to work toward safer roadways for all users, including in my run for chair of the Committee of Transportation Infrastructure in the 118th Congress. Thank you for the Truck Safety Coalition. Thank you to the Truck Safety Coalition for preparing this landmark report on truck crashes. Hang on. I'm going. No Republicans. Just want to point that out. No Republicans. And we have a lot more Democrats. Democrats, let's see. Let's go back there. We got... So I got D.C., right, said that. There's another Democrat from Illinois, another Democrat Illinois, Democrat from Maryland, Democrat from Connecticut, Democrat from New York, Democrat from California. So this is here, John Claybrook, crash board chair and former Highway Safety Administration administrator. Truck crash fatalities have increased 66% since 2009. Costing victims and taxpayers an estimated $180 billion. The large truck's fatality crashes is an unattended and ignored public health crisis, and it's time for security, Secretary Buttigieg and members of Congress to act accordingly. The solutions are not a mystery, require strong rear and side underride guards, in addition to proven low-cost technology like automatic emergency braking system and advanced driver assistance systems technology on all commercial vehicles, and critically terminate the lethal teen trucking pilot program immediately. So, I mean, the pilot program for the teens, right? Okay. So you got to tell me, were most of the crashes involving people under the 21 deal? Is that what those people? Because some of these states, like Missouri, is not on the list. Okay. You know, a lot of these states, like Kansas is not on the list, Colorado's not. A lot of these states, you're allowed to drive under the age of 21 in the state. So these states that have these programs, it should still coordinate with crashes if that's the reason. Being under 21 is the reason why fatalities have increased, then you should see those increases in those states that have those programs and have had those programs within the state. Say, oh, now they're crossing state lines, crashes are going up. That don't make sense. So we had some other crash victims here make some statements, and I wanted to read those too. Let's see. It says Elise Acosta, crash victim who lost her four children, 15, 13, 8, and 6, in a preventable truck crash. Okay, so I guess I was hoping maybe they would explain. It says, I am a mother with no children. My children died a horrific death sitting in a work zone when their vehicle was struck by an inattentive and speeding semi. Hundreds of lives are lost every year in a work zone crashes. There's no reason this should be acceptable. Congress must act and implement the NTSB's recommendation to develop performance standards for connected vehicle technology, such as variable speed limiters, and require this technology to be installed on all commercial vehicles. So she was, the car was sitting at the construction site, like stopped, and the trucker wasn't paying attention, and plowed into the stopped vehicles. And that, yeah, I mean, it's like you're saying, not paying attention. I don't, you know, like you said, the braking system, like I've had that stuff on, I've driven trucks with these warning systems. And there's a lot of stuff where it'll like beep, 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 you know, it'll alert you. And I can see putting some device in there that alert the drivers. But it's not, it's all about just knowing and paying attention, you know, and understanding you got to pay attention. And there's too much, you know, not only the cell phone, you got the radio, the CB, food, drink, all that stuff. Drivers have always done that, even before the cell phones. So doing that, it's, you know, I can see putting in, but mandating it, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, a lot of these trucks, you can turn them off. You can turn that stuff off, and you can make it where you can't turn it off, but then people aren't going to buy the trucks. You know, the owner operators aren't going to buy the trucks. Though the majority of the people out there running trucks are owner operators, they're going to want to be able to turn it off. Another crash victim, Pam Bibble. Crash victim who lost her son, age 23, in a rental truck crash. Despite repeated available technology, DOT has still failed to require automatic emergency braking in all commercial vehicles. Further inaction is intolerable and unacceptable. Over 5,600 people needlessly died in large truck crashes last year, an increase of 13% over the previous year. Traveling on U.S. highways should not require an act of faith to survive. No, but it does require education and knowledge. And I mean, everybody needs that. Everybody, truck drivers, car drivers, everybody needs knowledge on what to do, how to operate vehicles, and what to do, what not to do. So, I mean, but I don't know how this person's accident occurred. So I don't know what the deal there. This other crash victim who lost her husband in a preventable truck crash. It is incomprehensible to me that motor carriers only have to file paperwork and show proof of insurance to put a rig on the road. For over 20 years, FMCSA has failed to require new motor carriers to prove they are knowledgeable about safety standards as required by the Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act. For over 40 years, FMCSA has failed to increase the minimum liability insurance required for motor vehicles. The crash stole the opportunity for me to spend retirement with my husband happened because a brand new minimally insured carrier that was completely ignorant regarding safety standards was allowed to operate in the first place. How many more years will it take for Congress to hold FMCSA responsible for the fulfill the lowest threshold of safety missions? Just because they were new, that doesn't make them unqualified. That didn't make any sense. Another crash victim is my wife, a career diplomat for the U.S. State Department, fled war-torn Ukraine in July, only to be killed in August by a 13-ton truck while riding her bike in a clearly marked bike lane in Bethesda. Such traffic and senseless deaths are absolutely preventable. Congress can require the truck drivers actually have hours of practice behind the wheel of a rig prior to obtaining a CDL. It can require advanced driver assistance systems for all commercial vehicles and require large trucks to use side underguards. Are not expensive and complicated solutions. My kids are asking, why are not we doing more to prevent deaths like their moms? I ask that those opposing common sense changes and look at them eyes and tell them. I mean, it's all scripted. You could tell. You know, if a crash victim had another opinion, they would not have been invited to this little speech. Another victim. No. This person here is Zach Callahan. No, yeah, Cahalan, Executive Director of Truck Safety Coalition. Our victim Volunteers are the strongest, most encouraged people I know. Their witness shines a spotlight on the abysmal state of truck safety in this country. It does not have to be this way. If more DOT industry leaders are elected, officials display a fraction of the courage our volunteers have demonstrated today, we will succeed in drastically driving down truck crash deaths and injuries. And I'm telling you, man, it's e-logs. And it's carriers pushing their drivers. And really, you know, you talk about safety training and all that. I mean, okay, here's what it goes down to. My company is just at fault tier two. Anyone chime in, tell me I'm wrong, go ahead. All we're doing now is watching videos. That's what we're doing. You go online, you watch a video. Nobody there talking to you, pointing to you, instructing you. Nobody is in getting in the truck with you to go over what do you know? How do you know it? All you do is go online, sign in, watch a video. You answer some questions during the video. You know, it's not like you can fall asleep. You got to pay attention. But a lot of times it's not, you don't have to pay attention to what's being said. You just have to pay attention that when the guy stops talking, you got to click. I mean, that's what it is. It doesn't do anything. Watching these videos don't do anything. You need people teaching classes. You need people instructing drivers. Get them in the truck and practice with them. One of the best classes I ever took, Swift Transportation, believe it or not, the best class I ever took, quarter driving. It was like he taught us how to drive slow. And, of course, when you're in a standard transmission, you know, how do you drive slow? What do you mean drive slow? And he taught us just everything about turning and backing and maneuvering and looking while going slow and maintaining slow. Go slow. Like if you're in a street, like a busy city street, okay, a lot of times you need to go slow. When there's pedestrians around, you need to go slow. One of the coolest things I got taught was how to drive slow and how to recognize that you're going too fast. A lot of drivers, we see them all the time. Greg's even commented, they come in these truck stops going 40 miles an hour, you know, because it's like they don't comprehend that they're going too fast. And it's like you need, and that's what I'm saying is videos, no more. You need people in the trucks with the drivers teaching them. You need to be in the classes being instructed. Somebody talking to you, pointing to you, making sure you're paying attention. That's what you need. Stop these videos, okay? Averett, Swift, Schneider, JB Hunt, name a company, Prime, you know, all these old companies, what do you call, Knight Transportation, Pam, all of them, they all go online. Take this class online, watch these videos online, no more, get off of that. Okay, you want to improve safety? Get out there and actually teach the drivers. You got to do it. You got to spend the money. Okay? Spend the money. Teach the drivers. Actually sit there and make sure that they are actually paying attention to what's being said and actually show them. So, yeah. I knew Greg was going to get involved. Let's go, Greg. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Red?
I'm fired up, man.
I hear this. That fiery truck crash, I just seen it on the news here a little bit ago. I got home earlier and, you know, for the day, I run a short one today up to Cleveland from Pittsburgh, down around Pittsburgh area up to Cleveland, and brought one back. But, yeah, that was down, I think they said on Route 75 in Allen, Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the guy went right off
the
highway.
That truck went off that bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went right off that bridge. You said there was two vehicles involved. One struck the other one. The one guy went over the bridge. Yeah, they said it exploded or you know, in fire when it hit. No, it was on fire when it came off of that bridge. If you look at the video, it was already on fire before it hit the ground.
Yep.
But it said that he passed. Well, no shit. You know, I mean, you land upside down on the intersection, you know, on the intersection below. Yeah, you're dead.
falling 20 feet, right, yes.
But the other one, the other person, they said wasn't injured in the crash. The one involved wasn't injured in the crash. I don't get it, man. I just can't comprehend this. What's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like you said, you know, e-logs. I am convinced that it's e-logs, and you'll have the newer drivers out there now. They'll defend these e-logs to their dying day. They'll defend it because, for one, they don't know what it was like to run the paper logs. They don't know what it was like to be able to control their own, you know, they can't. I don't know how to put it.
They got to have somebody else telling them. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is that back in the day, you know, all the drivers, if you asked around and talked around, they said, how can you get creative? Like, well, you only got it. It's 15 minutes. You got a minimum, but the rest of the time you can go off duty. So, you know, you do all that stuff to give yourself more time. And a lot of times it's like, I'm not going to start just go on the drive line until I actually start driving and all that stuff. And it's like, you get creative, but the cool part about back in the day was you were in charge of the creativity. So if you were tired, or you were worried about, you know, getting checked or whatever, you weren't going to get creative when you knew that there was going to be an issue. Well, now with these e-logs, we've got the carriers actually getting creative for the driver. The driver doesn't have to get creative anymore.
Yeah.
The carriers, you know, we know it. They go in and change it whenever they want to go change
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's where it needs to stop right there, because when the e-logs first come out, they said, well, it was going to be actual. You couldn't change nothing. You couldn't change nothing. Whatever the data put down, whatever was down there, that's what it was going to be. But if you go, you know, you go over hours or you go this or that, all you got to do is call the carrier, and the carrier goes in there and changes it. Okay, it's fixed. We straightened it out for you. That's not right. They should not be able to change that. The driver should not be able to change that. The carrier shouldn't. Nobody should be able to change that. Whatever it is, it is. If there's a violation at the end of the day, the driver's going to eat it, and the carrier's going to eat it. That's the only way they're going to stop it. But when they let the carrier go in there and change it, the carrier, like you said, the carrier is going in there and changing, you know, changing the grid, changing, and they can change anything. The driver, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've talked to the people I know that's on e-log. I've never, you know, I was on e-log a very short time, and that was 6 months too long. But they can go in, and you can change anything on that log except for your what? Your drive time?
That's right. As a driver, you can put your – if you were, like, on duty for 30 minutes, you can change that to off duty for 30 minutes. But you cannot change the drive time. You cannot – like, you know, if you want to put yourself in – if you went – let's say you went off duty, and then you're like, well, I'm going to go to the sleeper. I want to change that. I was off duty for an hour. Let me go and put myself in the sleeper before I – you know, and change it. You can do that. But – when the truck's moving and it's logging drive time, you can't change it, but the carrier can't.
Right.
The carrier can change.
That's what I'm saying. The carrier, you can't even go back. You got no recourse against the carrier, because if you come back and say, well, no, I can't do that because I was at hire, I was this, I was that. Carrier goes back in there and changes it and says, no. No, here's where it is. Right here it is. He had plenty of time. He did right here. Here's his log. Wait a minute. That ain't the way I put it. Oh, yeah. That's the way it is down there. Who are you going to argue with? When it goes to court, who are you going to argue with? These guys are going to lose their job because the carrier lied. They changed it to protect them. And so there's no recourse on it. You know, and that's where it comes down to.
Well, it doesn't matter.
What...
Yeah, and then we know that the carrier pushing the driver to over their limits. If the driver says he's tired, the carrier says shut up and get on down the road. We know that's illegal, but we know the driver is not going to say anything. But like you're saying, if something bad happens, and the driver is like, well, I told him I was tired, and then they're like, well, are you gonna, you know, and the carrier is like, we never told us. We didn't know. If he was tired, he should have told us. We wouldn't have pushed him. I mean, who are you going to believe? You know.
You're gonna have
six or eight people in the carrier. They're gonna say, oh no, he never said anything. We don't have any documentation that he said anything. You know, you say, oh, send it on the Qualcomm. It's on the Qualcomm. They can erase that too. You know.
Well, Qualcomm. I think they're a thing of the past now. They don't even exist anymore, do they? Yeah. Are they still using them?
Well, some people are. We just switched over to tablets now, so it's all in an internet system. But even then,
I didn't know anybody that was even still using Qualcomm. Maybe they are. I don't know.
It's still the same technology. It's just in a tablet form now and all that stuff. But
right.
But our little motto, and with our group of drivers that we have that work for the company I work for, we all say that if you're going to say anything if you need to say anything to cover your ass, do it in a text message off of your cell phone, because they can't change that. You know what I'm saying? They can't go in and erase your text messages.
Well, see, the last company I quit when I was doing the expedited. That's one thing I can say about that company. I can never, or will I ever, say anything bad about that company as far as the way they run their operation. You will make money. You will run. And the guys are making money. But it got to the point I didn't, I just didn't want to be out there anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. I was just tired of living out there 3 or 4 weeks at a time. I won't do it. But everything that you did there had electronic trail on it, man. You had a tail on you all the time. If you, any conversations you had with dispatch, the owner, whatever, was in a text message. All right, you texted them when you got to your pickup point. You texted them when you got to your delivery point. Anything that they wanted to know, they texted you. Back and forth, they would send you a text. When you got the text, then at your convenience, you text them back. And it used to irritate me when I first started. And I asked the owner one day, I said, what's the deal here? I said, they're driving me. He said, anything that happens, if you're wrong, he said, if you're wrong, then I know who's wrong. He said, but if dispatch goes and gives you wrong information and it was wrong or they did something that wasn't right, he said, then they're getting reprimanded for it. He said, there is no preference here. He says, everybody's going to do their own. And him, he, just as bad as dispatch, has told me stuff that wasn't actually legal, and I did it. But I had it in text message, and there was never nothing said. You remember the loads I took from Cleveland to Arlington? You know about all them, right? Okay. All right. I'm not going to say nothing there, because then you're going to have somebody say, see, you're one of them. No. Them loads right there, he was the one that dispatched them loads. There was four of them. Cleveland to Arlington and back. Kalamazoo, Michigan to Arlington and back, Dayton to Arlington and back, and another one out to Arlington and back. I forget where the heck it came from now. But anyhow, the owner of the company was the one that dispatched me, because Safety was on vacation. She wasn't on vacation. She had COVID. She was out for I did one of them a week, and it didn't start until she went on vacation. Well, when she got back, she's wanting to write me up. Because you can't do this. And the time you can't do this. I said, wait a minute. I was asked if I could do it. I wasn't asked if I could do it legal. I was asked if I could do it. Yeah, I can do it. But I told him flat out in the paper, I can do it. But I said, I can't put it on paper. Take care of it. That's all he said. He said, if you can get it there, get it there. I got it there. I got back.
Yep.
All right. But these guys now, you remember – off the subject there for a minute. You remember when you used to go in for orientation and you went in, they had you watching videos. They had you out there hands on. They gave you a driving test.
Yeah.
They used to take and get a certified CDL driver got in the truck with you, and you went for a drive, and they determined if you could drive, if you could back, if you could do whatever. They took you on a road test before you went to work for the company. They don't do that no more. Don't do that anymore.
It's not. I mean, I did that when I worked for this company. But let me tell you something. I don't know if you remember. I like movies. I'm always a movie guy, and I'll always reference movies when I'm trying to reference something to get a visual of it. But the movie License to Drive with that Corey Haim, back in it was in the 90s or the late 80s, whatever. And he was going to get his driver. He was 16 years old, getting his driver's license, and the guy actually giving him the test was Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he was a hard ass, and he was really, really tough, and put him in the weirdest situations to where he was, parallel parking really, really tight, going up a hill, really steep hill where he had to use his clutch and everything. And then it was like heavy traffic and it was really stressful and all that stuff. And then his sister, his twin sister did the same test. But, you know, she was out in the suburbs making the little turns that were in these huge streets with hardly any traffic and no cars around and all that and everything. And it was kind of like that's what it is now, is that when they give you a test, they're not testing you. They're like, you know, just take it around the block. You know, that's really all they're doing now. If they do give you a test, it's not hard. It's not, they're not taking you.
I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I took one. All the companies that I've changed, I can't tell you when the last time that anybody got in and took me gave me a road test.
I remember when I, like I said, when I was an owner-operator and I got road tested, if you went to work for a company and you were an owner-operator, they were harder on you because you're an owner-operator.
Right.
You're supposed to know more. You know, you're
right.
supposed to be.
No, actually you're not. If you are a commercial driver, owner-operator, company driver, it don't make a damn if you started yesterday or you started 50 years ago. You are supposed to know your job. They tell you, I'm tired of hearing this mess. You know, well, you're a professional. You're a professional. You got that CDL license. You are a professional driver. Let me tell you something. Yes, we are a professional driver for what we are driving. Every car that's running around out here that's got somebody in it should have had training. They should be able to handle that car in a safe, responsible, and respectful manner. And if they can't do it, then they are not a professional. They're a professional at what they do. If you can't drive that car and you can't handle that vehicle you're driving, you have no business in it. I'm tired of hearing that mess about, you're a professional driver. No. If I'm a professional driver, then how about starting to pay me a professional wage? That's where the shit goes down at.
Well, yeah, we know that.
For my experience.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we see that too, that most of the crashes, you know, you see that where it's like these less, I mean, I can see that there are these smaller carriers that are, you know, here one day, gone the next. And they just hire
whoever. I mean, you see it every once in a while. You'll see a big Peterbilt or a Kenworth or an owner-operator, big groaned out shiny truck. You'll see one crash once in a while. But what's most of the trucks that you see wrecked anymore, what are they? They're usually company trucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying owner-operators are perfect. They're not. I'm not saying that. Accidents happen. That's why they're accidents and not purposes. But they always want us to blame. Every time you start talking to these company drivers, the first thing they want to do is blame the owner-operators. Well, the owner-operators is the reason that the industry is the way it is, because they was the one that was out here, and they was eating pills, and they was doing drugs, and they was drinking, and they was driving, and they're running 100 mile an hour, and they're running, you know, 3 or 4 days and 4 or 5 log books. Yeah, I don't want to hear that bullshit. Go back and look at the statistics. How many accidents did you have back before e-logs come around? You just said it a little bit ago. How many accidents were there? Granted, there's a lot more vehicles on the road now than there was then. All right, I get it. But that is not where the problem is. The problem is lack of training, and the companies are running these drivers to death for nothing. Just like a few weeks ago, I heard about, that asshole from the ATA gets on there and starts talking on to that one dude, whatever, said, well, we need 1 million more drivers out here on the road, need 1 million more trucks out here on the road. Why do they need 1 million trucks? The freight rates are in the tank. There ain't enough freight for the trucks that's out here now, and they want to put 1 million more trucks on the road. It's simple, Ed. It's simple what they're doing. If they put 1 million more trucks out here, they put 1 million more drivers out here, where are they going to park them? First of all, now they got all these drivers out here. They can say, well, you know, now we're going to start paying you. This is what we're going to pay you, and that's all we're going to pay you, and that's it. So you're going to be out here working. These guys are going to be working for nothing because there's going to be no competition. Because every day there's going to be a truck. You're going to take this load and go with it. This truck's going to take it. It's going to be an hourly job, basically. You know, you're going to be working for a minimum wage. You know, you're going to be working for minimum wage. Take it and go with it. When your time's up, go home. What are you going to do? You got 1 million more trucks out here than what we got now. They got guys sitting around truck stops now that can't get loads and they ain't paying whatever. They're not working. And they're going to put them. They want 1 million more trucks. What are they going? Where is all the work that they're going to be able to justify 1 million trucks? dead ass open ATA. They're total morons. I don't give a damn what it is. The ATA, Ohio Trucking Association, Indiana Trucking Association, I don't give a damn what state it is. Every state just about's got their own trucking association. And there ain't none of them knows their ass from buckwheat. So what are you going to do?
Exactly.
The problem comes right down to your little reach around your no, man. No. Yeah, Mr. Buttigieg or Mrs. Buttigieg, whatever you want to call him, that's where the problem's at. You know,
well, no,
the transportation secretary
like
has a right to stop a lot of this and control it. And
NTSB, all those people, that say, you know, I'm an expert. I went to college, and now I can study truck driving. Yeah, right. Get out of here.
Put your ass in the seat for about 5 to 10 years, and then tell me what an expert you are. I tell you what, better yet, just get in that truck for one day. I just want to see you drive that truck the way we have to for one day. And when you get back, I want to see if you can do it for one day. It'll never happen.
Right. Yep.
Distracted driving. You know, they keep saying, well, distracted driving. Oh, that's what's causing a lot of the accidents. Distracted driving. Okay. Distracted driving.
But like I said, it's always
been loaded. They keep loading these trucks down with electronics and bullshit.
You know.
Forward facing dash cams, rearward facing dash cams, lane avoidance systems, automatic braking systems. You know, when the hell? What the hell? They took everything away from the drivers and they put it on this autonomous shit. They're trying to get the trucks to do everything for you, and you know, automatic transmissions. Sorry, Jeff, if you're listening, but I'm going to go there. Now it's getting to the point where you can't even, I don't even think you can get an a manual transmission unless you special order it.
I think so. I think they're all automatic. Freightliner makes it, Freightliner makes it automatic, so yeah.
There's nobody out there that should be in a truck. If they can't drive a manual transmission, they should not be in a truck, period. They should have to be able to drive an automatic or a manual before they get an automatic. They put them in an automatic.
So here's
going to happen the first time if they have to get an automatic or a manual.
Here's the case against automatics. Okay, I've driven a Volvo with an automatic. I've driven a Freightliner with an automatic. Volvos are just push button. The button's on the dash. You push drive.
Right.
You push reverse. When you pop the brake, it automatically goes into neutral. So going down the road, so my big route goes through Austin. And if you've ever been through Austin, Interstate 35 going south, you come across the river leaving downtown, you go across the river.
Never
and you start
been
up there. Okay, well, you go up the big hill, and it'll slow you down. Well,
right.
And the Volvo does not have any type of shifter whatsoever. So I'm relying on the computer to downshift if necessary. And it very rarely does. I get down to 50 miles an hour before that sucker will even downshift. So it does not downshift going up that hill. It'll just go slower and slower.
Nope.
And then the Freightliner, it has a shifter on the console, on the column, like a turn signal.
Right.
And you go up or down. So like if I'm getting up that hill and I'm doing 65 and I drop down to 61, I can hit that shifter and it'll take me down a notch. And then I can get back up to 62, 63, getting up that hill as long as the weight's good. And then, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I can control the shifting on those hills. In the Volvo, I can't. There's no way. And the truck just gets slower and slower. And it's a pain in the ass. You're right. Automatics suck.
Yep. They do. I mean, and everybody out there, I don't care what is it with everybody now? As soon as the light turns green, they think they got to go off. They got to take off like somebody dropped a flag, man. I mean, they got to go 100 mile an hour. They go as fast as they can when they take off from a stoplight.
Oh,
whatever happened to progressive shifting? Remember when they used to preach progressive shifting?
Oh, yeah.
To get the fuel economy, you had to learn to drive, learn to progressive shift and get the most efficient fuel mileage you can get. Used to preach that all the time, man. Progressive shifting. Never hear it anymore. Well, why do you? Automatic transmission, it don't matter. You put your foot flat on the floor and just it, the truck does it for you. It ain't going to do nothing until it's ready.
Yep.
You know.
And if, and really, if you're if you're an automatic transmission, if you guys are aware of it, so like if you gun it in an automatic transmission, it'll go from second gear to sixth gear, because if the truck is light, then the transmission when it feels that there's no pull and that it can just go, it'll just upshift all the and that'll bog you down. I mean that takes even longer. Just when it goes up
I'm just thinking
gear,
they need to come out with somebody needs to write a book trucking for dummies.
Yeah.
You know, put a lot of this stuff in it, you know.
So by in an automatic transmission, if you do, like you're saying, if you lightly press on the fuel and get going, it'll go through the shifts. It'll go 2, 3, 4, you know, it'll go real slow. And guess what? It'll take a little more time, but next thing you know, you're at full speed and you never lost any power, you know? So it's those things. It's all about power, not about speed. And the heavier you are, and when you gun it and you're heavy, you're not going anywhere.
It's like the company's cutting all the power back, the horsepower and stuff back on the truck. So we got to cut it back so we can get, you know, make them more efficient, keep control of the drivers. No, I've been hearing them with that horse too many years. Because you can cut the road speed back without cutting the power back. You can set the gutter, the road speed to run. You know, if you want to set the speed limiter, you want to set the gutter so they only run 65 or 68, you can do that. You don't have to cut the horsepower back. They can have 500-600 horse, but they're only going to run so fast. That's all the faster they're going to run. And they can set the torque on them to where the torque comes in at the higher gears to where they don't tear the drive lines out. There's so much nonsense to this game. I just sick of hearing it, you know. I just sit and laugh anymore because it's funny.
Exactly.
I mean, it's comical.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit back and laugh.
Yep. But,
All right.
We're getting ready to go to the show. You know, tomorrow, I got to work tomorrow, and then Thursday morning we're going to chill out of here fairly early. She's wanting to get going early, so we're going to try to get out of here fairly early and meet Holly and the other Mike, I guess that Mike from LTR, we're going to meet them somewhere, and they're going to go in with us. Donnie's going up with us, but we got the motor home ready, and got everything ready to go. She's getting it all packed up, and we're going to go out and see how Truckers for Hope is this week.
Good deal.
Hopefully I'll make it without breaking anything, but hey, it is what it is.
Watch for videos.
Yeah, watch for videos. She's going to video it.
Cool.
Right to the point where I break something, and then I'm taking her phone.
Yep.
I'm having the GoPro put on the front of the truck.
Hey, and this is what I want you to get a video of. I want Tiffany to get a video of Greg. Greg's going to do me a favor. Greg's going to give Tony Justice a hug and a kiss for me.
That probably won't happen.
Well, I'll pay for that.
I just like the one he'd get him to bring Purgatory out there and back him into the sled. I keep hearing all these guys blowing smoke running down the road, blowing smoke out of the top of them, you know, dragging their wagons down the road, doing their videos and blowing smoke and grabbing gears and running their Jake brakes. You want to impress me? Back in there and hook up to that sled and take off. Let's see what you really got.
That's a good idea.
You know, I mean, anybody can go out there and turn the fuel to them and blow smoke rolling down the road, pulling a trailer or you know, run your, you know, 60, 70 mile an hour and throw the Jake brake on, listen to the Jake brake cackle all day. Back that bitch into a sled. Let's see what you really got. Hey, if you break something, it's cost of doing business. It's a price you pay. You know, you want to play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So, you know, but do what you got to do. I ain't scared. Never was, never will be. But it'll all be good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the pictures. Yep, good deal.
Well, it's after 5. You got to go to work. Or after 8, you got to go to work, huh?
Yeah, I got to get going. Cool deal.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I didn't know if you was watching time or not. I hadn't called in for a while, but I'll go call in tonight. I went out work today. Like I said, I went to Cleveland, unloaded, reloaded right out of the same door, come right back down. I got to unload in the morning, go over to Pittsburgh, drop another load off, and then I'm going to deadhead home and get everything straightened out, get ready to roll Thursday morning. Go out and see what's going on out there.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Oh, all right, Ed. Take all care. Right, have a good evening. Be careful out there tonight. We'll talk at you later.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll see you. All right, now. Y'all be
careful. All right, now.
Good deal. All right, well, that's what it is. And you know what? I just heard it. That was Call to Arms. Tony Justice, Bring Purgatory. Hook it up to the sled. Show us what you got. Redneck and Eyes will be there with the Black Classic. It's got on written on the side of the truck, Redneck and Eyes. Nothing personal, just business. Hey, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're going to call today on Tuesday. Time to go to work. Check it out, redneckandeyes.com. Be sure to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Look at all that, man. That's awesome. So here we go, man. Hey, Chris, thanks for chiming in. And be sure to go share our YouTube. This is a good episode tonight, I thought. So go share it and let everybody know. We'll get it out there. Make sure everybody sees it. So, yeah, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Be sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate you doing that. You can get all the links to our social media and YouTube channel on our website, redneckandeyes.com. You can also get links to all of our sponsors, DPF Regeneration, Load to Ride Transportation, and Trucker Tools at truckertools.com, the Trucker Tools app. Go download their app from your app store. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. And we're just having a good old time. We'll be at Truckers for Hope Truck Show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Check it out, truckers4hope.com in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania, at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. This Thursday is when it opens. If you're in the area, stop by, say hello, Redneck and Eyes. We got great stuff to give away, little knickknacks and things. So I hope they don't forget anything. So come see them. Check it out. And just like everybody know, oh, there's me again. See, right here. Boom, slide over and right there. So it's Redneck and Eyes. We came together as a small group of truckers that had an idea to share common sense knowledge of what it takes to be a do-it-yourself trucker. We also have a goal to educate the American public on how to operate safely around big trucks. We appreciate all everybody's support and hope that everybody keeps sharing and commenting and liking and subscribing to the Redneck and Eyes. We're continuing to grow and grow. We appreciate everybody's support. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Well, I won't be here tomorrow, but we'll keep on going every day, every weekday, 7 p.m., 515-602-9731. Call in, Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. See you tomorrow.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.